Hello and welcome to another instalment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the Collector's App. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series, we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics every single month. Joining me on this episode is one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It's Patrick, not Picard Stewart, and of course he's back again. It's the General himself, Justin, Generals Joe's Bell. Okay then, last month we looked at the latest Walmart exclusive Night Force theme and proposed some additions to the team, and so this month we thought we would get ahead of the impending HasLab reveal by talking about a few options that we think could be done for the Joe team. Throw in another version therapy and you've got yourselves a brand new episode of What Is It, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly.
Woohoo! Sorry, I've had some
professional.
I've had some Lucozade Orange, and so I'm literally about 1,000%. I'm batting at 1,000. Is that a thing? Can you bat 1,000? Can you do that? Wow. Would that just be perfect?
Yeah, you'd hit every pitch that was thrown at you.
In that case, I'm batting 0.5 then, in that case. 0.0005. Guys, how's it going? How are you, Justin?
I'm good. You know, doing all right. Life is busy. End of the school year and stuff, but things are good.
Awesome. And Pat, how are you doing, my good man?
Life's a whirlwind right now, but I'm doing okay and handling it.
Life is a whirlwind twin battle gun, isn't it?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, Chris. Spoiler alert.
The only reason I said that is because I've written it recently. That's hilarious, isn't it? This isn't going to be the longest episode ever today, I'm afraid, guys, because we are all strapped for time. So let's stop talking about how much little time we have, McLeod, and get on with it, shall we? Explosion. Okay then, the subject of this month's show is Classified Series HasLabs. Each presenter will have to choose an option for the G.I. Joe team that they think is a viable possibility for the HasLab platform. We kind of know the dragonfly's coming, don't we? Let's face it. So we are kind of talking practical, cost-effective, and full of fun tiers, not the crying ones, although there might be some of that as well by the end of this episode. Based on the fact that the next project will be for the Joes, that's what we are sticking with today, but fear not, the extra episode might have you covered for the other enemy factions as well. Okay, Justin, take us through your G.I. Joe HasLab choice, please, and thank you.
Sure. Now, I want to preface this with I tried to look at the Hiss as kind of a template for what they might do, and and Chris really emphasized this to be a practical, not a pie in the sky, not a and then this is what I would dream of.
And then I chose something that was way and then, not going to
yeah,
happen.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Then you ignored your own advice while we were stuck with it, so that's great. Thanks. No, in all seriousness, I tried to look. It was more difficult than I thought. G.I. Joe's, it's got a whole motor pool full of vehicles. You figured it'd be easy, but a lot of them seemed a little small. A lot of them seemed a little big. It was tough to find that sweet spot in the middle. What I ended up choosing was the Snowcat. And the Snowcat, I'll be honest, isn't one of my favorite vehicles. So this wouldn't be like my pie in the sky dream thing, but it's a very solid, iconic G.I. Joe vehicle. Come with a driver, come with Frostbite.
Nice.
And I think that would appeal to a pretty broad run of Joe fans. I think it had a lot of, showcase in the animated series. It really is, one of the front and center iconic vehicles in G.I. Joe lore, I believe. So I think it fits that motif. I'm not sure if somebody said name 10 iconic G.I. Joe vehicles that it would break that top 10. But I think it's cool, and it would be a great foil for the Hiss. It's another tank sort of vehicle, maybe a little less armored. But anyway, so the base HasLab would be a Snowcat with Frostbite. As with the Hiss, as you kind of broke certain bidding thresholds or certain backer thresholds, there were different tiers that they would add in. And I really liked what the Hiss did for some of this stuff. They didn't just stick with this is what, they did in 85 or 84. This or 83 actually is when the Hiss first came out.
Or 80, so not 79 or 78.
Instead of just like saying, this is, let's be adherent to the vintage, they kind of spiced it up with additional missile pods and gun turrets and you know, canopies and stuff like that. So for the first tier, I thought it would be cool if we did a minigun attachment, or a minigun turret maybe, where you could pop that kind of quad missile launcher off and replace it with some kind of like minigun sort of turret that would be, you know, some more close combat, would offer the Snowcats some more anti-personnel sort of armament rather than just the missiles and stuff. It would give it a little bit of a different look. So that was kind of my tier one, is just you can pop off that rocket launcher and put like a minigun turret in its place.
Sort of like the Vamp Mark II, Mark I, switching back and forth almost.
Yeah, exactly. And then for tier two, I tried to think outside the box a little bit. I think if you're doing an Arctic vehicle, it's a opportunity to bring in some Arctic figures that haven't gotten made yet. So for tier two, I threw in Blizzard as an additional figure.
Beauty.
I thought maybe he could share a little base tooling with some of the other Arctic figures, maybe with, you know, just a different sort of vest and obviously a new head and some gear. But I didn't think just the figure was enough for a tier two. So I built out this idea in my head of like an Arctic arsenal, which was a couple of like weapons lockers. Or weapons and gear lockers, which could come with, you know, some sets of skis, some snowshoes, ski poles, just a kind of an array of Arctic themed accessories. So the figures that come with the Snowcat, like Frostbite and Blizzard, could then, you know, don some of this stuff. If the Snowcat gets disabled, they could put on the skis or the snowshoes and go out and continue the battle, so to speak. But then those weapon lockers would also be mountable on the Snowcat, so they're not just kind of sitting around somewhere. You could kind of turn it into a cargo carrier, sort of, and have these different, like, you know, maybe two or four weapons lockers pegged into the sides of the Snowcat somewhere, so it can actually carry them, and then they can be removed and
That
opened
sounds
up, and the
awesome.
gear can be used.
That re
So.
that does sound so cool, and I like that additional kind of like, yeah, that additional kind of feature that you've added with it as well. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the draw of Arctic figures in G.I. Joe lore has always been the accessories. I mean, throughout, you know, when Snowjob was first released, you know, to Snow Serpent, to Blizzard, to, you know, Iceberg, and well, Iceberg actually not so much. He didn't come with a whole lot of gear, at least
Iceberg
not that
had
original version.
one machine gun.
But you know, Sub-Zero characters like that all came with all these Arctic themed accessories, and that was really a draw. So I just figured including some of that stuff in here might be a nice touch. So then we get to tier three,
I'm just
and in tier
excited. I'm excited for you to say this word in tier three, because I'm gonna joke about it.
yes. Well, tier three, Iceberg, I thought would be another good addition to the G.I. Joe Arctic forces. And again, he might share some tooling underneath, you know, an additional kind of
How
secondary
would you just
jacket
give
and
him the
head.
one accessory though? Would you just give him the one accessory as an
Oh yeah,
homage?
totally. Yeah, he'd come with nothing but a gun. That's it. And so I would include him, and then along with him, I would also include, and I think the word you're going to make fun of me for is skipedos, which is skis that love children. You would take the skis. You would take the skis off of.
That's what Blizzard, Frostbite, and Iceberg call themselves when they're on like on vacation. The ski
Skipedos.
pedos.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible.
This is awful. That's going to be bleeped.
But you could take those off. I mean, I always liked those, you know, as a kid. I don't know how practical they are as an adult, so I think you could take those off and you could replace them with some minigun or rocket pods that
Hell
would kind
yeah.
of enhance the armament on the side of the Snowcat there. Again, give you more short range armaments, things like that, some more anti-personnel capabilities. And the cool thing about all this stuff is they could be mix and match. Like you could do the minigun turret with these pods, or you could do the minigun turret with the ski pedos, or you could do, you know, you could kind of do or and put throw the weapons lockers in there. There's just it would make the vehicle really customizable. So each person who acquired one could do it up a little bit differently and would encourage people to back it and to make it their own thing rather than just going with the vanilla Snowcat. So that's my idea for tier three. Tier four, I think I probably went a little overboard when you're talking about practical. I think I might have gone a little bit beyond practical
I
for
don't
tier
think
four.
so. I don't when I
You
look
don't think
at
so?
no, when I look at this and I look at the Hiss has got more figures. The Hiss has
True.
got like a yeah, and it's got like yeah, this to me this is like a nice kind of balance, honestly.
Okay. All right, good. Good. So what I came up with for tier four was an Arctic themed twin battle gun, which is like the Whirlwind, that huge, you know, I've got a thing for miniguns, obviously, because I've used it all throughout this Snowcat HasLab. But it could be, you know, one of those Whirlwinds that came out, you know, in the early 80s mm-hmm. that, you know, has basically got the wheels that can be towed and then they can fold up and Brilliant. Somebody can sit in the turret and mow down Cobras with it. So I thought that would be cool as a towable. I know that was one thing that people really were clamoring for in the Hiss that they never really got, was some kind of towable thing that could go behind the Hiss. And I just thought that would be really cool. You know, the Snowcat, if I remember right, has a tow hook kind of in between the floorboards on the back where people can stand and get blasted in the face by a rocket launcher backlash. So it's got a tow hook already. So you could just mount the Whirlwind on that tow hook. And, you know, obviously by using a HasLab to fund some of this tooling, it gives them the opportunity to reuse it, saving some money, you know, and they can do a more standard Green Deco Whirlwind at some point. You can do a Tiger Force Firefly Frostbite at some point. You could do the Tiger Force Snowcat. There's all sorts of, you know, Tiger Force Blizzard.
Hell yeah.
For your UK freaks. You can do all of that. You can do all of that stuff. So this gives a good opportunity to kind of use a HasLab to fund the tooling for some of these pieces that could then be reutilized in the mainline
the
for a little bit less
itself,
money.
Yeah, as well. Like, I'd love to see
exactly.
a Tiger Cat. I'd love to
see
the
Tiger Cat. I mean, they've already established Tiger Force is a pretty aggressive thing they're doing at the moment. So I think that would be a great way to supplement the initial HasLab offering. I don't think they want to do Tiger Force for the HasLab. I think they want to start with the iconic original version.
That's what you think.
But that's kind of that's what I sort of put together is the Snowcat with Frostbite and all those various different tiers go head to head with the Hiss, and I think it'd be really fun.
Big time. That's a really good, solid. I can't see any issues with that one at all. Like I said, I think it's a nice balance with what the Hiss kind of gave us. The Snowcat. When I think about the Snowcat, it's probably going to. I don't know how, like, in terms of size compared to the Hiss, it's probably going to be very similar, isn't it? I guess.
I would think so. I think they took some liberties with the Hiss's size for the HasLab. They made it a little bit bigger than I think it was in the original line. So I think the Snowcat might be a little bit longer. I know the vintage Snowcat is longer than the vintage Hiss, and it might be a little bit wider. But, you know, I don't know. I think they could make it pretty close in size to the Hiss. I think they could get away. There's some room to move there a little bit. I think they oversized the Hiss a little bit. I think if they did the Snowcat more accurately to the vintage size and whatever, I think it would match up pretty well.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I like the sound of this. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think that putting the Whirlwind in there really just makes that be another tow behind that could also go to retail easily. You could even imagine that this would come after that would be at retail and just think that they could tack that on as a bonus. The one question I have, though, is now that the Hiss tank has had electronics in it with the lights, is that going to be a staple moving forward?
Are Interesting thought.
Lights each time. So are you picturing this with lights in it?
It could, for sure. I hadn't pictured that, but I think there's certainly an opportunity for that. I think there are areas. I mean, it's got the little headlights at the front that I think could certainly use some actual functional electronics. I think that'd be really cool, actually.
Lighting up the canopy would be nice, wouldn't it, as well inside?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Like a nice blue or something, like a nice blue color.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of like offset the red of the Hiss, you'd have the kind of lights on the interior, like the headlights kind of almost operating in both directions, but going through a filter on the interior.
Yep.
So it lights up blue.
Love it.
Gorgeous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I really love the idea of the weapons lockers, though. That to me is a wonderful way of tricking this out and making it a little bit extra. And I also like the changeable weapon in the back. I think that if they were going to do that, I would like to see those become somewhat modular with some of the other vehicles.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
I stole Justin's modular idea for my own idea. So that's how good that idea was. awesome, mate. Yeah, I really like that. And obviously, the Snowcat is iconic, but it is definitely, like, it's not... And it's been done so many times in so many different ways as well. Like, we've had it
really
in, like,
has.
Multiple versions, multiple decos. And so it's a weird one because it's kind of a, I don't know, like a clumsy design, but it's pretty cool still. I mean, you've got the tread, the half track kind of scenario, and you've got the canopy's pretty cool. And I think that the fact that, you know, we've had a Transformer that pretty much directly replicates it as well in Brain Fart.
Transformers Energon.
Yes,
in Transformers, Unicron trilogy.
Yeah,
things.
Energon and the Night Force version in Universe.
Transformers Universe.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that they've had, you know, Transformers have literally taken Snowcat and made a literal, character out of it. Yeah, just kind of goes to show that there is something there to that. And also, this is not the first time I've heard the Snowcat brought up. In terms of HasLabs, lots of people comment on our shows about HasLabs, our talks, saying Snowcat this and Snowcat that. So it's definitely something I think people would like. And plus, the G.I. Joe Winter team, or the Arctic team, is really cool. And they're going to need something to rock and roll in, aren't they? So
absolutely.
I don't know why I said rock and roll. He's not in the Arctic team at all. Right, cool. Justin, you get 10 out of 10 on that one for hitting all of the right points. Pat, you're up next, buddy. What have you got for us?
Well, I would encourage anyone watching this to kind of go through the list of vehicles themselves and try to think of something that they would imagine as a realistic thing that Hasbro would do.
It's hard.
It's really hard because a lot of the stuff that was made in the 80s, it's just, you know, are we going to have a HasLab or Cobra Claw? No. It's too small. That could easily be retail.
Yeah.
And or a Watchtower. Okay, that's bigger than a Cobra Claw, but is that something everyone's going to clamor for? No. And could put it retail? Maybe. So
it's either too small or too big, isn't it? That's the problem we have.
That is the problem.
That's what I ran into too, yeah.
You have all these vehicles that feel like they're shoebox size that probably we could just cycle through in a few HasLabs. And so these predictions may actually be very, very likely to happen. They may be the short list of what's going to happen. So go ahead.
No, sorry. I'll say later because I've got kind of like an honorable mention, and I'll probably say it before I say my other one because it's another one that probably isn't iconic enough, but would probably be big enough to do. But anyway, we'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah, because I was formulating other ideas, and Chris was like, no, that doesn't really fit.
I was like, no.
It does fit. Like, I could see a HasLab for that, but keeping in with what we already have for the Hiss Tank.
It's also kind of like getting your head in a Hasbro executive mindset, because it's not about, not even about the brand team, who would be like throwing ideas similar to yours all over the place, and it'd be like, that's cool, that's cool. But then some exec's going to be like, it's this, this, or this, aren't they? So yeah, that's kind of where we land, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Awestriker with crankcase.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, and probably what sells me on it is what I asked Justin, was the electronics. Does it have electronics? Seeing the Awestriker with those two headlights that always looked like they would light, because they looked so real.
Hell yeah.
With inserted clear plastic. Seeing those lit up with a couple of LEDs that are actually bright, I think it would look amazing, especially amazing in some of the photography that fans have been putting
together. Oh, yeah.
Cutting through some fog with crankcase going across like rocky terrain. I can already see that in my head.
Brake lights as well?
Sure. Yeah. Other lights. It's just those front headlights are the things that really just sell to me the idea of having an Awestriker with electronics.
I love the thought of the dashboard as well, kind of maybe having something behind it. That'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think that the dashboard lighting up the figures is an opportunity in like all of them. The Snowcat, when I was picturing that, that's especially a nice, because the figures are encased.
Yeah.
They're not as easy to see, but then when you light them up, it would make them easy to see.
Yeah.
But even case of something that's as open where you can see the figures, having that little pop of color come at them, I think is a benefit. So yeah, for sure. Doing electronics on this is going to be one of the selling points. But I'm pretty much picturing it just being an enlarged version with, you know, detailed out just the same way that the Hiss Tank was, with removable engine and everything. And I would like that engine to really be detailed.
Yeah. Maybe not just one piece, but like multiple pieces of an engine as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool. You could take it apart and for dioramas, make it look like they're working on it and stuff. Yeah.
You could get like a little mat that comes with it, like a roll mat that you put on like where the you know, next to the car and put all the parts and the pieces of the engine on it, like when they're cleaning it and stuff. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. There's a lot of options for the Joes. I mean, those removable engine covers were always a part of the appeal of G.I. Joe vehicles over other toys.
Agreed.
The Joes could do more than just fly around or drive things. But the Austriker, the vintage one, took it to the next level by having the engine removable. So it, in particular, is the ones that, one of the ones that Joes can work on. But what I did for Tier 1 was to have a new roll cage and to add the rear platform that is on, I think, the Stargate version of the Austriker.
Nice.
And the new roll cage, we've seen a couple of those at this point with G.I. Joe Retaliation and the Foe Striker.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'd like it to incorporate Foe Striker elements 100%. Like the kind of the tent ability and all that kind of, there was loads of cool stuff on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what I'm looking at in Tier 1 is that element of creativity from the design team to do something to make it updated. Because if they're going to be doing these vehicles and bringing them to life in 6-inch form, this is probably going to be the only opportunity to do a Snowcat or to do an Austriker that is also changed and modernized, and we get those elements that we may find that we really love that just should return to those vehicles throughout time. So it would just be a shame if there wasn't one of these tiers where the creatives that are currently at Hasbro had the opportunity to do something new. And this is that tier, is Tier 1 for me.
I would also love it. Sorry, as we're discussing the kind of roll cage and everything, just reminded me of, you know, how the antenna, they kind of like can move into different positions and fold back, especially on the Bumblebee one, which I thought was amazing. Yeah. The Bumblebee or Striker. How cool would it be if they made them springs and like they were a bit twangier, so it was a little bit more.
You just wanted to hit all the time and watch them.
Yeah. I just thought that would be kind of cool because then you'd have that like almost real world effect. Because it's a bit bigger and a bit, you know, you wouldn't have to kind of do it as plastic. You could do it in like a different material and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think that'd be awesome as well. Yeah, carry on, Pat. Sorry.
Yeah, and if speaking of springs, I'm also imagining like spring suspension on the Austriker. On the Austriker was one of the really cool elements of it. So yeah,
hydraulics, little pneumatics.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
I just confirm one thing with you, Pat, on your Tier 1?
Yeah.
When you say new roll cage, I take it the base one would have the kind of more classic roll cage, and Tier 1 would be a new roll cage that you could switch out, so you've effectively got two vehicles at the end of the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the new roll cage really makes the whole thing look very different, and I don't know how many people actually bought two Hiss tanks in order to change out the canopy. I think that's more of an option that people will pick which one that they want. But whenever you change out the roll cage in here, I'm talking this is just Tier 1 is the design team goes crazy and does what they want. Maybe it has doors. You know, maybe we get an Austriker with doors.
Like the little flappy down ones, like on a Thunder
Machine.
Yeah,
like little flappy. Yeah, like
and
very
Stinger.
Simple.
Doors. Yeah.
Not a full shell, but something. And, you know, we have a windshield. Those kinds of questions need to be brought into play.
One of those plastic, you know, those kind of like flexible material, plasticky ones they have on Jeeps sometimes that you kind of plug, you unplug them almost, and they're like just a bit of material with a
like
plastic
a
window.
Binder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be really cool. There's a lot of stuff that they could do with this that I would like to see the design team just sort of make the decision on what needs to go in there. And then Tier number 2 is probably just me being very self-serving. I really wanted to get CoverGirl in green with her blonde hair somewhere in the G.I. Joe line. I don't necessarily think that that's something that they're... I really like the classified series CoverGirl.
She's
think that's
brilliant.
An excellent sculpt.
Yeah.
A good figure. Being a vehicle driver as a classic figure, it just felt like I needed to find a spot for vehicle drivers. And I don't necessarily see her coming in the main line anytime soon. So,
I wonder, I mean, like a lot of people talk about the Wolverine as a possible HasLab as well, don't they?
yeah, and so maybe we should reserve her for that.
But I do like your thinking here of doing it with the blonde hair and then maybe get another cover girl more classically in the future, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, they could do like the Devils Due cover girl to come with the Wolverine, and Ton-Up come with Wolverine,
Oh.
and Hunter, just
Get them
you
all
know,
in there.
just get them all in there. Yeah. But then also in tier two, I didn't want just a figure. I wanted to get new wheels. So like playing into that idea that you're working on the Awestriker, I also like can imagine it coming with new wheels and like a little jack. So that you could have a jack underneath one corner of it and the entire wheel taken off for the
That's
Joes to be
so much
Awestriker.
fun. That's so much fun. I love it. Again,
Yeah.
like toy photography, like displaying them, like undoing the wheels and everything. Oh,
Yeah.
mate.
Yeah, and I don't think a jack would be too much or other additional wheels. Just they'd be something a little bit, maybe a little bit larger, and in conjunction with that new roll cage would also make it look like a very different vehicle when you pop those on.
It would be cool if it was a larger wheel, if you could put like two larger wheels on the back, have the smaller wheels on the front, and kind of tilt it up like a really like an off-road kind of dune buggy sort of thing. You
Yeah,
had
like
me
getting
at
into some
hello.
different ones.
That's
And then I actually had a different character in tier three for good reason. But then as I was looking at it, I was like, no, the answer's obvious. Look at the art of the Awestriker, and Gung Ho is in there. We've already gotten Gung Ho. But then it occurred to me that I'm playing into this mechanic kind of thing. And there's a way more obvious choice that is a character that won't necessarily end up at retail, and that is Gaucho.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
Very
and
cool.
I don't say that just to make Chris happy.
Yes, you do, but
It does, like,
okay.
if you look at it, Gaucho makes a lot of sense for what this is. He is the mechanic for Zed Force. So having him be the mechanic in this situation, I think, is perfect with how much I'm kind of thinking the Awestriker needs to play into that diorama being repaired kind of play pattern.
Love it. Love it. And also, simple repaint of Retro Gung Ho. Done.
Yeah, and he comes with a tool chest and some repair tools. And I'm being vague there as well, because maybe he has, like you said, the rollout thing for the engine parts to come out. Like whatever the design team can come up with that makes sense to be working on an engine is good for me. But I do want to make sure that there's an engine crane in there so that it can be lifted out of the,
Dope.
I think.
Dope.
This is very pie in the sky. I don't think that we'll be getting a classified series Mobile Command Center.
That's
I don't think so.
HasLab number four.
Having like that
I
thing that
would
can.
cry. I would cry. It would be tears of happiness.
I would cry
It'd
because I
be the,
probably couldn't afford it or scope.
yeah. It'd be the size of like a smart car or something, like
Yeah,
a
you'd have to
Mini
get
Cooper. Right.
insurance for it. You'd have to get road
Yeah.
tax. You'd have to get all sorts of stuff. No, that I love it, and I love the thought of, utilizing the design of the crane that's in the Mobile Command Center as the
Yeah.
crane that would come with it. In the maybe off chance that in the future things went mental and they did bring out a classified Mobile Command Center, they wouldn't have to do the crane because it's already done and you've already bought it.
With
Amazing.
Gaucho, with
Yeah.
those like kind of flat green pants he's got, you could really do a color match with the Awestriker itself. I think the shade there is pretty close, so it could really look like he actually belongs with the
That's a
Awestriker. I
good
think that's a
point.
neat touch.
Yeah, and the fact that Gung Ho is painted on the cover of the Awestriker just makes
Yeah.
Show feel like he really just belongs with this idea.
Absolutely.
Also, the lighting on that on Gung Ho on that artwork looks a little reddish as well. I'm not sure if you've noticed before,
Yeah,
but it does
it does.
almost look like Gaucho is in there with
Yeah. And then in tier four, I'm like, you know what? Tier four just needs to be out there. If the rest of this isn't working for somebody, we need to give them something else. So what I'm thinking is that we've already seen a slightly different design worked into the Cobra Officer at retail. And a friend of mine was saying that some of the gear on the Cobra Trooper, he would like to be a little bit different. So I think that there may actually be an opportunity at retail for there to be a new Cobra Trooper in the future. So what I wanted to do was to kind of front load that and work a little bit for a potential new trooper, but maybe also work off of that officer and introduce a Mars henchman based on the 2012 convention figure. So you're getting kind of a figure that's a kind of Cobra, and the Mars logo would be on a secondary that could be swapped off if it was something that you didn't like. So it would have a swappable. It feels a little bit like what we got with Cobra Command, or what we're getting. It still isn't in hand, with the Hiss Tank and Cobra Commander having a different logo. But in this case, it's the Cobra Trooper, and it's not the Mickey Mouse Cobra Trooper or anything like that. It would be the Mars Henchman. And that's kind of a pitch for a adding a little bit of Cobra in there, similar to the way that they did Sky Striker, to get some of the people that are just fans of that other style, also into this Hasline.
Interesting. I like it, man. And like in terms of Ore Striker, 100%. Like that as an idea, for even for a HasLab, it means it's a little bit. It's one of those ones that's like you could probably see it at retail because we just saw the model kit appear recently, which is only slightly smaller than you would have for a classified scale. And apparently, with some modification, you can actually get classified figures to sit in comfortably. So that's quite interesting for all those people that were wondering about that out there. So because it's a model kit as well, so I guess if you just don't put some panels in, the feet go in there nicely. But the other thing was that because you could kind of maybe see it, it's like a retail eventually, by doing all these extra things like electronics and all the extra, details and everything, it suddenly it becomes like actually this is pretty damn cool. And it wouldn't be, I don't think it would be that expensive as a HasLab. If the Hiss tank's going to be what was it, 299, was it 299?
I think something like that.
Yeah, it's just over, well, it was over 300 when you start factoring in all the other fees, but that it's got to be like pretty low, much lower, I would think, based on the size that you're coming down to.
Yeah, I don't think that we necessarily need to make sure that we always are hitting that same price or more
No.
whenever we're talking about a HasLab. They can be kind of all over the place, and
Yeah.
it's fine. And to be honest, if we go down in price, that's not going to be a bad thing, I don't think, for anyone. It's going to be a
Agreed.
little
No.
hit. A little more realistic. And yeah, I do think that some of these HasLabs, if they scale them down, obviously you're not going to include as many figures if you're putting it at retail. But you could do one figure at retail with it and change the color, remove all the electronics and all the other bells and whistles. And how awesome would it be if there was this as a HasLab, and then later on a retail version had a completely different color engine, and then you could swap.
Oh,
That would be cool.
swapping all the parts around like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like there's a
Yeah.
dark gray part with a light gray part. What are you doing? I'm just being crazy. Like all the pistons being different. So I'm going so detailed on that engine. I want like tiny pieces to come off it. And so like you get to the point where how do you put this back together again? I don't know. You'll have to look at the
Well,
tiny instructions that Gaucho's got in his hand.
you could make the HasLab version be like a 10-part like engine that breaks down, and then make the retail one just a solid engine.
Big time. Big
Yep.
time. I'd be angry though. I wouldn't want it. I'd just stand on it
Break
in
it.
spite. No, that's really, really good, mate. I love that. The Ore Striker sounds great. I mean, you could probably tell as you were saying, talking about it, how excited I was to add things to it immediately. What about you, Justin? Are you a fan of the Ore Striker option there?
Oh, it's a great shout out. And that was one of the vehicles that was on my short list as well that I eventually decided not to go with, but it's certainly it fits the scheme really well. And as we were kind of going through some of this stuff, I kind of refreshed my memory on the Foe Striker from the 50th anniversary, and man, if they could include some of that stuff, that would be incredible. I forgot how cool that vehicle was, that Ore Striker base with the different roll bar and the Of course, another minigun. I love my miniguns, but minigun on top, and it's just a lot of there's a wealth of opportunities to kind of utilize that Ore Striker in different ways. It's interesting because that was one of sort of the venerable G.I. Joe vehicles that we've gotten in almost every single iteration of the G.I. Joe brand, from vintage to straight up through to 50th anniversary. I've kind of lost count of just how many Awestrikers we got. There was a lot of them.
That was the thing, though, wasn't it? It was the fact we kept getting them, and they were always just the same. And then the Foestriker came out and just changed it up completely.
Yep.
And only a few little elements, but it was like, oh, this is different, finally. Yeah.
Yeah, so having that level of customization would be very, very cool. And I could see it having a lot of possibilities. And if you do bring it in at a lower price point than the Hiss, then I think you're encouraging people buying duplicates and making mixing and matching a little bit, creating some different style vehicles out of them. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, brilliant shout on that one, Pat. I think the Awestriker as well, it's got the iconography that the Hiss tank has. You'd probably say the Hiss tank's more iconic, but the Awestriker definitely is up there. With like that visual, like you see it, it's like you know exactly what you're dealing with, because it also doesn't exactly relate to. I mean, there are real world dune buggies and vehicles like the Awestriker, but there is nothing exactly like the Awestriker in much the same way that there's nothing exactly like a Hiss tank. So it's brilliant stuff. Okay, cool. Okay, my turn to ruin it now. And I'm gonna start by saying I had a couple, like Awestriker was one that I was toying with genuinely, but I was kind of thinking I couldn't make it interesting enough myself to put it in HasLab, and then you did that, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, so so it's possible. But then, like, the other ones I was thinking of, similar to the Awestriker, was the Desert Fox, but I didn't think it was iconic enough. It was weird enough, G.I. Joe enough, and big enough. And then you could, like, have, you know, Treadmark or Skidmark or however, whatever you want to call him.
I looked at that one too.
And I was
Me too. And that was on my list too.
Because that was one that I absolutely adored as a kid. It was one of my favorite vehicles when it came out.
It's one of the best vehicles.
It's brilliant. It's so good.
Yeah, the fact that it's not iconic is kind of, I don't want to say travesty, it's probably an overkill, but it really should be more iconic than it is. It's fantastic vehicle.
Plus, you've got a cheeky little Dino Hunters repaint in the future as well if you go with that one. And actually, should we just do Dino Hunters HasLab? Because that would be chef's kiss, wouldn't it?
Yes, I would love
Absolutely.
It.
But the dinosaur has to be the same level as the original. It can't be better. It can't be articulated.
The same one. Just repainted.
Make it worse. Make it worse somehow.
It's like a baby. They're hunting a baby dinosaur that's like comes up to their waist.
Anyway, so I was thinking of that. And then the other one I was thinking of was obviously the Sarge, right? And the Triple T and all that kind of stuff. And I thought the Triple T, yeah, that would be good. But it's kind of small when you think about it. And it's something, and when I say small, I think like they could definitely just about do that retail wise. And then I was thinking, you know, in terms of the Sarge himself, I always preferred the Warthog Sarge in terms of if we're doing different versions and stuff, right? So when I said that to myself, I went, it's the Warthog. And I went, yeah, let's do that. Let's just go a little bit crazy, right, on this one. Wind back some of the other elements, keep it a little simpler, and we might be able to kind of do this, right? So, the Warthog. It's a big vehicle. It's a troop carrier, to give, you know, its full size. You've got three, like, driver, co-pilot, and gunner positions in the front. You've got six spaces in the back? I think seated spaces in the back.
I thought it was just four.
I thought it was two on the side and two at the back.
Oh, yeah, and then two at the back. Yeah, you're right, it is six.
So I think you can squeeze six in there, right? Obviously, you're probably not going to be squeezing six classified figures in there. But when I thought about the Hiss tank, I was like, well, that's kind of got space in the back with loads of people in it doing loads of random stuff. You got a gunner halfway in the back. You've got someone sitting there in the back with a rack of weapons. I thought, you know what? Sod it. Let's give it a little bit more width. And you're probably about the same height. And probably about the same length, maybe a little bit longer. But if you get the width a little bit wider, then you've got the opportunity then to have the space at the front for the three, because they're in like specific positions as well, aren't they? It's not like they're all. It's not like you've got like a cockpit side by side thing. It's like one at the front and then two behind in a weird kind of offset. So I think it could be done. There might be some wiggle room that has to be done. But when I thought about it, I was like, actually, no, I think this can be done. And then obviously the other things that come into it, you've got electronics for the lights. You'll have The treads, the working treads for the actual, you know, the treads, that would be kind of cool as well, much like the his tank as well. And then on top of that, obviously the space, probably, I would say, let's say four figures in the back, because that might be a bit too much trying to squeeze six in there. Plus you've got the three in the front. Maybe just minimize that to two. Maybe just make it a two-seater at the front. One port for that, one port for that. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there just to kind of wiggle room with the space. Then I was thinking, right, well, that's the base. You get the Sarge with it. So it's the Sarge and the Warthog. Then I was thinking, and this is where Justin kind of made me start thinking about the tiers. Tier one, I would go with a retractable rocket launcher, like almost like a port, like a weapon system. So you take it off the back where those two huge yellow rockets are, and it basically plugs into a stand, right? Now, the stand already has a missile launcher on it, like a block one with lots of mini missiles, like kind of like the Wolverine or a minigun or any of those kind of different versions, right? So that's plugged into the stand, and you've got this kind of like effectively like a what are they called, the weapons systems on the tactical battle platform, or the multiple weapon systems that were sold separately as little sets. It's kind of like that, and you would just take the rocket thing off the back and you'd plug it onto that, and that becomes like its own standalone rocket launcher, but then also it's got other options that go with that stand. So that's that as tier one. It's effectively a weapon system with other weapon options. Then it's really all about, for me, the rest of his team, the Renegades, the three of them. Mercer, Red Dog, Taurus. Now, I was thinking that could just be your tiers from then on. Two, three, and four could just be action figure tiers, because we all know how much everyone bloody loves getting action figures in these, in these Haslabs. So I was thinking tier two could be Taurus, who I always feel like is probably the least popular of the three, right? So I'm getting him done early. And putting like the most desirable one in the distance. And that's just from what I gather. Like personally, I love these figures, but I would probably suggest that maybe Taurus is possibly the least popular in the vintage line. Then I was thinking Red Dog, and then I thought Mercer is the last one because of the connection with the ex-Viper. Everyone seems to think he's a bit sexy. He's got that British accent in the movie. Even big bad cobras need air conditioning. See, like, it's perfect. So I'm thinking that would be my tier list. Keep it simple, and maybe you could throw some other elements in with those figures. Like, you could have, you know, like a figure and weapon system, figure and tools, figure and etc. etc. So there could be like other accessories that come along with those figures that go specifically towards the Warthog as a vehicle. Now, I'm aware that this would be very big. It would be bigger than the His tank, but I wouldn't suggest it would be that much bigger than the His tank. Shape-wise, it's going to take up some more surface area, but in terms of size of what it is, they'd be like reasonably similar. I'm holding them under my arms, by the way, right now. I think they'd be reasonably similar. Obviously, the weapon system probably takes it up a bit higher, those missiles, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What do you guys think, Pat?
I think it's going to be about the double the width of the His tank. Because you figure that... Yeah, almost double. Because you figure the His tank has, in the back, space for one figure. And you can kind of squeeze in, like they were talking about, they tried to squeeze in another figure. So it really is an almost two. So yeah. Let's just call it about the space for two. Especially since you wouldn't have, like, the...
You could make the back. You could definitely make the back smaller, though, couldn't you? I guess make it.
You could, and I think that one of the things that I would really like to see would be more access to the back. So instead of those two seats in the back, this is why I was thinking there's just a four seater. Is if the back of it flips down, you're only going to have the side seats, and I think that it would be a good idea to make the back flip down as well. And the lights that we've been talking about, the electronics. So important for those figures that are sitting in the back to look really cool, especially
to see.
Yeah. And when you open up the hatches, because The original one's one of those vehicles that has a lot of cool details on the inside of it that you never see.
Exactly.
Because thing together, the instrument panels for the figures in the front, you hardly ever see that stuff unless you kind of peek inside.
Big time.
But some of that stuff could look really cool.
All the hatches are different as well, aren't they? Every hatch opens a different way and has a different design on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fun. I like that aspect. And maybe you make the whole top of it removable so that you can possibly have people who able to get in there and actually see what's going on and position your figure the way that you want to before you.
That's a good point. The hatches would have to be pretty wide to squeeze a classified figure in.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
The Sarge, who's one of the biggest figures as well. You just have to have these little... It would be like the hatch and then these two little bicep shapes on the side. When you open it up, his arms would be able to fit in there. Amazing. And his hat would be the hatch at the top. His hat,
the width of the hatch. Yeah. To make sure the diameter works for his hat.
I also have to say that it's just again for iconography as well, just so G.I. Joe, and it was again such a massively awesome vehicle that I just want to see it again, and I want to see it in a much bigger, more detailed way.
Yeah, like the Desert Fox, it's just it landed in a year where G.I. Joe was having a downturn. I think that if people actually go back and look at some of this stuff, this is one of the gems later in the line.
Yeah.
But also to make Taurus a little more appealing, people are always talk about that early Globulus tail and how different Globulus looked. But if you go back and look at Taurus as well, he had like the curly beard. So maybe you could give him like either give him that curly beard or like Zorana, give him swappables and have him have two different beards that you could swap out.
I love that idea. I was just going to say alternate heads, but no, that's so much better. Absolutely superb. Justin, what are your thoughts on the Warthog? Are you in?
Oh yeah, I'm in. I mean, you're right. It would be pretty big. I agree with Pat. I think it might be a little bit bigger than you're giving it credit for, but I think they could tweak it a little bit. You know, the Warthog is one of those things that it's one of those vehicles that has some elements that are somewhat iconic, but I think it also has some room for them to massage the design a little bit to match HasLab specs without, you know, fans rioting about it. So they could always sort of maybe reduce the size a little bit and maybe not have room for six, maybe have room for, you know, three or four or whatever. There's ways they could slim it down, I think, without, you know, fans throwing a fit. To make it match that HasLab aesthetic. I mean, I don't know if I'd want them to. I mean, I think part of its appeal is that block shape, kind of, it looks like a big hunk of armor. I love that it's amphibious. I think that's just a really cool element to it.
Make it float. Make it float as well.
There you go. You could do that. You could do that. Yeah, I think it'd be great. You know, I have no idea where I'd display it, but I already have no idea where I'm going to display the hiss or whatever else.
You'd have to leave it on the beach that you took photos of it on, wouldn't you?
I do have to say, though, this isn't necessarily unprecedented, because as we're kind of talking about this, I'm thinking about, you know, the Super 7 Thunder Tank that I got a short while ago. And, you know, that's pretty wide. It's got room for six different figures in it.
There's
the Warthog
would be anywhere near the size of the Thunder Tank, in my opinion. It would be taller. But I can't see it being any wider than that, or any long. Certainly not longer than that.
Probably not longer. Yeah, I think it'd be taller, and it might be a tiny bit wider. But I think some of the appeal when Pat was talking about how you could look down into the seating area and see the stuff in there, that was what made me kind of think of the Thunder Tank, because they kind of did the same thing. They added some little kibble inside, where, you know, some monitor screens and stuff like that. So I think that sort of element would be very cool to put in the Warthog as well.
But just look at it.
It's great.
Just look at it. I love it. Imagine that being massive.
You don't have to sell me, man. I'm on it. I just got me at the practicality, I think, is where I'm stumbling a little bit. But I think they could do it.
I think what I was kind of like messing around in my head was that I don't think the Hiss Tank is the be-all and end-all of the price or the size of a HasLab, because that's effectively what HasLab is, isn't it? It's that kind of like, it's the dream project, I guess. And all I kept thinking about was like the Katana, or like the, you know, that kind of stuff, and just thinking like that thing was disgustingly large to the point of like what it was taller than Kate, the box that it came in. Like, she was literally like, you could just see the top of her hair over the top of the box. And it was like, I was kind of thinking, yeah, like, I know that you kind of have to, have to take in display, all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, but and the fact that it's the Sarge as well, I thought would probably have that also, that draw where people would be like, yeah, it's the Sarge. Like, that it kind of covers more than just G.I. Joe. But yeah, that was my...
How pissed are going to be when they get to tier three and you're missing Mercer?
Oh, that would be bad, wouldn't it? They only get to tier three because people can only afford so much. It's like a $300,000 HasLab.
That'd be rough, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I put Mercer last, because I know people would want the heck out of him.
Yeah, plus exactly.
This thing would fund in a second, and then people would cry about it afterwards when they realize they've got no space or money.
Exactly.
Or any ability to kind of... Yeah, so I'm totally in agreement with you guys in those aspects. But I was kind of thinking about the Triple T. I was thinking about the Ore Strike. I was thinking about the Desert Fox. And the Warthog, I was like, I think that can be done. I just think it can be done.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're wrong. I think we've talked about it already. Just this is a lot trickier to pick something than people might think. I mean, the first place I went when I was thinking, oh, something to go against the Hiss, a tank, you know, the Mauler. And then I look at some images of the Mauler. I'm like, there's no way that thing would be like 4 feet long or 5 feet long. I mean, that's just, I don't see that as being feasible. I would love it if it was. The Mauler is one of my favorite Joe vehicles out there, and it's pretty iconic. But it's tough to find that sweet spot between something that's not too big, but something that's big enough to really match that HasLab kind of framework.
Havoc's another one that's too big, but really iconic. Like thanks to the Sumbo cartoon, like right front and center, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's our HasLabs, guys. That's our practical HasLabs. After I forced Pat to change his mind three times about... about that, you see what I'm hanging my hat on, the exec element, I'm hanging it on Sarge, and if they're going to hear the Sergeant Slaughter name, they're going to be like, oh, tell me a little bit more about this this massive thing that you plan on doing. Anyway, that's ours. What do you guys want, or what do you guys think Hasbro could do viably and practically and cost effectively, and obviously not the Warthog? Right then, next up, it is Version Therapy. Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it, and of course showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding. Right, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what action figure version is their best. Now, of course, we are all probably going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience, and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So, who have we got next? Well, last month we looked at Tunnel Rat, considering he had been in Night Force and many other sub-teams in the past. So this time we thought we would go with a character who is connected to the vehicle that is most likely going to be revealed as the next G.I. Joe Classified Series HasLab. And that, my friends, is Wild Bill. Right then, Justin... let's just get stuck into it. What version of Wild Bill is your fave?
Well, this is a tough one because I know there is, you know, he is an iconic character. Yes. Interestingly, his you know, how he looked in the Sumbo cartoon didn't really align with how he looked in action figure form originally. But, you know, in kind of looking through, and this is another choice that is a lot more difficult than you might think, because
he's had,
you know,
a few
Wild
versions
Bill,
too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He was prevalent, you know, obviously. He had a couple of versions in the vintage line. And then, you know, in the new sculpt era, he kind of became the de facto vehicle guy. He was even the pilot of the Patriot Grizzly tank, as kind of crazy as that is. so I think he made several appearances to the new sculpt era. Spy Troops and into Valor versus Venom. And Valor versus Venom is actually where I went to choose my favorite version of him. His original, 84 version, or 83 version, it was fine, but the 83 era, the figures were a little slimmer, his hat wasn't removable, he didn't really jump off at me back in 83, even though that is probably his most well-known look. And then when you talk about some of the stuff in the 25th anniversary in the modern era, he suffered from some proportion issues, so none of those really appealed to me either. But of course, Valor versus Venom, which is where I landed, there's some proportion issues there too, but I think I really like the look of that figure, kind of the button-down shirt, the bare arms and gloves, the removable hat. He's got his full beard instead of just his Stone Cold Steve Austin shaved head and goatee from the Spy Troops era. He comes with two pistols, which actually fit into holsters, which was kind of obviously not the first time they did that, but it was something unique in that Valor versus Venom era. And he kind of came out towards the back half of that era a little bit, where they had at least made improvements in their sculpting a little bit. So even though he had really long legs and still kind of suffered from some of that lanky proportions a little bit, I think he came out looking a lot better than some of those earlier figures in that run. So yeah, the Valor versus Venom version is really where I'm landing. I think that's a great figure that works as a pilot or can also be on the ground, kind of doing more, in the dirt, in the weed sort of stuff. And that's why I landed on that version of Wild Bill.
I like the pun use of landed as well, because obviously he'd be in a helicopter.
That's right.
Yeah, cool man. That's an interesting shout. It's not one I thought anyone was going to go with, but it. Well, the more I looked at it, the more I thought, yeah, that's kind of pretty cool. You're right about
It was,
there's some proportion issues,
yeah,
like you
and it
say,
was
but
pretty neck and neck with the Spy Troops. That spy in Spy Troops, they had a couple of different versions of that same look, where he had the bald head and the sunglasses and the goatee and the removable hat and kind of the twin pistols on his chest. I like those figures too. It was a little bit neck and neck between that and the Valor versus Venom look, but at the end, I went with Valor versus Venom.
awesome, man. Pat, what are your thoughts on Justin's choice there?
I think the thing that this figure really needs is the sunglasses. And if you look at the early photography for it coming out of Hasbro, I can't remember if it was included in the Valor versus Venom insert catalog that came with vehicles or if it was in press photos. But he did have sunglasses early on, and those ended up being released with leather neck that came with a mech later on in Valor versus Venom. So I like to just place those sunglasses with him and then say yes. And I like how whenever Justin's picking his choices, he's also kind of, I think at least, thinking of how these are going to look as a modern figure with this overall outfit and design. So, subtract out complaints about the big shoulders because you're not going to have that translated into the new figure. You're going to have all that stuff worked out. And I do think this would be a really cool Wild Bill to include.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting version and an interesting take, Justin. I wasn't expecting in the
Yeah,
slightest.
I was not even.
Pat, what about you, mate? What was your version? Because I think I was very similar to you, and then I went in a different direction. But we'll get to mine in a second.
I wasn't sure if I stole yours again. I actually did do a bit of pausing this time at first when you were asking so that I wasn't just stealing everybody's everything
That's
as
the
I normally
difficulty, isn't it?
do.
Because Justin always goes first, and he always comes back in about 12 seconds with, "I'm having this one. No one else have it. Get out." Actually, he's put like
I've
six
done that, and I've
versions in there, so we can't touch any of them.
But this one for me was almost kind of easy. It was the one that I got really excited about whenever it came out, and that's Wild Bill version 2 from 1992.
Brilliant.
Or going back at the time, finally revisiting some of those older characters. Wild Bill was a figure that, version 1 was one that I had as a child. By the time 1992 rolled around, I was more after things, more as a collector. But I was also opening them and appreciating them for all their details. And my younger brother would play with my figures. And there's something really appealing about this figure because it's not orange. There is yellow. But the blue kind of does make it feel like they were doing a shout out to the Sunbow Wild Bill with the coloring that ended up in version 2. And I really just kind of like this figure. I love the fact that his head felt a little more proportional to the body, the version 1 figure. And he had the removable hat, which was big at the time. I also get the feeling with this figure that he's a little more like somebody who grew up watching like 1950s ideas of cowboys, and that's like his cowboy attitude. And I just really enjoy it as a figure. It's outlandish a little bit, but also fits the character.
And of course, we got a kind of slight repaint of this version as well, didn't we? Like the next year, right? Wasn't it like black and white pants variation?
It was just like make his pants white. Honestly, this is one of the repaints that I think they should have done more with it. The white pants are fine, but maybe change his shirt to green.
Yeah.
Upper half of that figure is just the same figure.
Which one do you prefer, black or white?
Black pants.
Black pants. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. What about Justin? Thoughts on that one?
It's a great figure. I think overall, I might prefer the color aesthetic for the 2000 repaint in the Real American Hero collection that came with that dragonfly.
With the locust.
It's got like kind of that. Yeah, the locust. Exactly. Yeah, it's got like kind of the dark blue and grays. But I get, Pat brings up great points about that blue tying into the Sunbow look. So it's definitely a good figure. I like this version better than the original as well. I think the improved sculpting between, 1983 and 1992, that 9-year separation really, it shows in kind of the comparison of these two different figures.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree. I do like that second iteration quite a bit.
Also, that thing you just shared, that image you just shared of the 12-inch Wild Bill, absolutely stunning. I don't think, it just did not dawn on me to utilize or to think about that.
Yeah, I was just combing around looking for Wild Bills, and I saw a link to that. I forgot all about that 2004 12-inch version.
He's
and
great.
To me, that's a fantastic figure. Removable sunglasses, so removable hat. He looks really, really great. So, yeah, if I had a do-over, I would probably have gone with the 12-inch one from 2004. But, it's all
too
good,
late now,
I think.
Mate. It's
too late.
We've recorded
it now.
It's
etched in stone.
It's edited in stone. I have a very, very rudimentary platform that I edit things on. No, that's awesome. Great shout as well, Pat. That version 2 was definitely on my radar. And I was kind of thinking, I've got a feeling Pat's going to choose that. So I was totally justified in that decision. Now I've gone for... You probably think this is too obvious, again, based on knowing me in any way, shape, or form. I went with the UK version of Wild Bill from 1990, specifically Tiger Force Wild Bill, the pilot for the Tiger Fly, which is, again, one of my favourite vehicles, by the way. So if we are getting a Dragonfly, we better be getting a repainted friggin' Tiger Fly to go along with it at some point. And now that you might be thinking, but Chris, what do you mean the pilot for the Tiger Fly? That surely was Recondo, was it not? Yes, in the United States it was Recondo. And funnily enough, in the UK it was Recondo as well. But they decided in the United Kingdom to call it Wild Bill. So, William S. Hardy, Tigerfly pilot, fixed wing pilot, aircraft armourer, birthplace. Oh, the birthplace is the best one here, guys. Hull, England. I've talked about this in the past. Wild Bill does not in any way, shape or form come from Hull, England. But that's what he was on this file card. There were other slight changes on there as well, but I'm not going to go into the details. In any case, I had to go with that one, even though it's Tiger Force Recondo. That's my favourite version of Wild Bill. Hey, it's a technicality, but I'm sticking with it.
It's valid.
That was, you see, that the thing is, that was mine growing up as well. That was my Wild Bill, because I didn't get the first Wild Bill that was out. But yeah, he also... that first version of the figure, of course, is one of those like really iconic ones as well. But it's weird, isn't it? Because again, he doesn't really match the Sunbow cartoon very, very much. So there's that kind of disconnect a little bit sometimes. But yeah, I thought, you know what? Let's throw a curveball, even though it's pretty much straight down the middle for me. If you know me, that is a straight down the middle. That is an easy hit, basically. Why are all my baseball analogies I've been using today? But it's happening, isn't it? Anyway, what do you guys think? Pat,
I wanted to say you knocked it out of the park with this one, just to stick with the baseball analogies. I don't know. I was almost expecting you to just go crazy and say Funsicle Wild Bill. Just all orange with a silver vest for
okay.
no reason.
Okay, actually, can I change my mind?
And his forearms, you know, they're flesh tone, but they have wrinkles.
Yeah, the fun school is just the best, isn't it? It's one of the most. It brings me so much joy looking through fun school figures, and they're just great.
Some of the best times of sort of modern collecting was that first, you know, sort of realization that you could go onto you know smalljoes.com and order fun school figures
for like
and just,
$11.
You know,
yeah,
oh my, it was insane.
It's so cheap. Oh. I remember getting Buzzer and Zorana. I didn't know it was you from Small Joe's as fun school yeah. figures, and they were so
yeah, and
cheap.
As you know, an active collector since you know 80, since the beginning, it was an opportunity to get figures that you didn't have, you know, which was unusual back in those days. You know, I mean that didn't really, you know, G.I. Joe wasn't, you know, as prevalent on retail shelves, especially not in the O-ring format. So that was just that was some really cool times, you know, being able to get some of those crazy whacked out Fun School O-ring figures for a decent price, you know, just it was fun times.
Fun school times, you could
and
say.
It's a carded version one Wild Bill.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit weird. But yeah, I think that
yeah.
Hondo is an as your Wild Bill is almost an odd choice. Maybe I would you tune it into like if they were to make it, you would not use the would you use the Recondo body?
Or oh, just use the whole
Bill.
Figure. It's already there. It's already done. I've got what
re-release it.
I have my Wild Bill, so I'm just hey, there's a thought. I wonder if because we haven't heard any rumor, leak, listing, anything of a redecoed Recondo, have we? How interesting would it be if they dropped that in with the Dragonfly HasLab? Which I mean, let's face it, seems very obvious, doesn't it? That seems to be the thing they're pointing towards. There's been another update today about you know that kind of points towards the Dragonfly, so I wonder if like that would be like a nice little homage to drop the regular Deco Recondo in as an homage to his connection to the Dragonfly, aka the Tigerfly.
I think that'd be great. I think that'd be really to prompt like if the figures actually relate in some loose form to the HasLab. Sure.
Yeah, defo. Cool. Okay. Well, that's our favorite versions of Wild Bill. That's our version therapy, and that's our episode for today. Like I said before, let us know in the comments what you think, what you think you could see Hasbro doing as possible HasLabs in the future. We're going to be doing a little extra as well, as probably almost the same day I post this one, because that's the kind of time crunch we're looking at this month. That's also going to look a little bit at Cobra, possible Cobra HasLabs as well. So you can look forward to that. But let us know in the comments what G.I. Joe HasLabs you think. It's not as easy as you think it is. I swear, we looked so hard and we tried to work out the best ones. And it's difficult because they're either too small, too big, or the mid-range. It's just, where do you go? Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me. Pat, Justin, thank you so much for jumping on, lads. It's been a pleasure as always.
Love it. Thank you for inviting us.
Only an hour and 10 minutes on this one. We've done well. That's it for this episode of the Full Force Monthly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Patrick Stewart and Justin Bell. See you next month. And as always, after three, one, two, three,
full force.
We can go now, right? Sweet. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.